Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Howdy and good morning, faithful listeners, and happy, happy Friday, the best day of the week. Today we're going to finish up 1 Samuel 28, and we are actually almost done with the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll be moving into 2 Samuel very, very soon. So let's finish part two of what we talked about on Wednesday. And to do a quick recap before I begin, Saul was about to have to battle it out with the Philistines again. And Saul was terrified. He was so afraid when he saw the Philistines coming up against him. So he was trying to communicate with God. He was, you know, looking to the prophets. He was hoping God would answer him in dreams or through casting lots or something like that. And God just was not answering Saul. And that's because God was angry at Saul, because Saul had not listened to any of the other things God had told him to do. So Saul tries to control the situation by finding a witch and going to her to try to conjure up Samuel, who had already died. So Saul gets to the witch, and through no power of her own, Samuel comes back from the dead because of God's amazing mercy to Saul. And so Saul bows his face down low to the ground when he realizes that it's Samuel who is speaking to him. And that is where we leave off today. And by the way, through all of this, the witch is just absolutely flabbergasted because she's never actually successfully conjured anybody from the dead, because she has no power to do that. If she did have any power, it was either to do magic tricks to make it look like she was bringing somebody back from the dead, or she was just pretending to do it for money. So let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 28 verses 15 through 25. As I always do, I'll be reading out the WEB version this morning, but feel free to grab your version of the Bible and also your cup of coffee or your cup of tea for you crazy tea drinkers who like tea for some reason. I still can't drink my coffee, so I'm kind of sad right now. I don't know when I'm going to be able to drink coffee again. I'm really bummed. So enjoy coffee for me, and for you tea drinkers, enjoy your hot leaf juice. Okay, let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 28, 15 through 25. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me to bring me up?" Saul answered, "I am very distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since Yahweh has departed from you and has become your adversary? Yahweh has done to you as he has spoke by me. Yahweh has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, even to David, because you didn't obey Yahweh's voice, and you didn't execute his fierce wrath on Amalek. Therefore Yahweh has done this thing to you today. Moreover, Yahweh will deliver Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Yahweh will deliver the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell immediately his full length on the earth and was terrified because of Samuel's words. There was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day long or all night long. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was very troubled and said to him, "Behold, your servant has listened to your voice, and I have put my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please listen also to the voice of your servant, and let me set a morsel of bread before you. Eat, that you might have strength when you go on your way." But he refused, and he said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, constrained him, and he listened to their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. The woman had a fattened calf in the house. She hurried and killed it, and she took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread of it. She brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they ate. Then they rose up and went away that night. Remember what Leviticus 20 verse 6 says? For those of you who don't, it says, "I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people." And this is exactly what is happening to Saul in today's portion. Samuel does not have good words for Saul because this was the last straw that Saul had done. Saul had continually gone against God through almost his entire time he was the king. Now, at the very beginning, he did follow God more, but towards the end, he was just rejecting God left and right. And that was one of the reasons why God was not answering Saul in the first place, was because Saul had not obeyed any of the other things God had told him to do. So why would God give him any more information? Why would God tell him another thing to do if Saul wasn't going to obey any of the previous things that God had told him to do? And so Saul, instead of confessing his sins and trying to get on the right track again, like David always did, he tries to take matters into his own hands and maintain control of the situation. And that's why he goes to this witch of Endor to try to get Samuel conjured up from the dead, basically. And God, through his great mercy, allows it to happen. And this was of no power through this woman at all. She could do nothing. She had no power to actually bring anybody back from the dead. The only person that has that power is God. And so God allows Samuel to go back to earth. And a lot of people wonder. We talked about this on Wednesday. A lot of people wonder, was this a trick? Was the woman, you know, just conjuring up somebody that looked and it sounded like Samuel? But the Bible specifically says that this was Samuel. They call him Samuel. Verse 15, Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me to bring me up?" That was Samuel speaking. That is what the Bible says. And not to mention, look at how Samuel responds to Saul. This sounds exactly like Samuel, exactly like something that Samuel would have said had he been alive on earth. It sounds like Samuel speaking. We know that demons are liars. That is the main power that demons and that Satan has. They lie. They lie to us. And none of what Samuel said was a lie. It was all everything he had told Saul from the very beginning. So Samuel, when he finds out why Saul is trying to bring him back from the dead, because God was not answering Saul, and Saul was distressed over the Philistine army that he was about to battle. Samuel says, "Why then do you ask me, since Yahweh has departed from you and become your adversary? Yahweh has done to you as he spoke by me." And you can just imagine how Samuel is feeling right now. He's like, "Look, I was just in paradise a minute ago, so I don't want to be here." I know that Samuel was always really irritated at Saul, it seems like. And here's another irritation that Samuel has. He's like, "Look, I want to go back to paradise, so hurry this up." He's like, "Why are you calling me? God's made himself your adversary very clearly, and there's no reason for you to contact me because of that. God has done every single thing that he told you that you were going to experience. God is taking the kingdom away from you, and he's going to take the kingdom away from you actually tomorrow. In fact, here's what he says. Because you didn't obey Yahweh's voice, you didn't execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, therefore Yahweh has done this thing to you today. Moreover, Yahweh will deliver Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Yahweh will deliver the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." So God is extremely gracious. He's very gracious because he did, in a way, give Saul what Saul was asking for, more information through Samuel. This shows God's amazing grace. Even though Saul was doing so many terrible things, God constantly was trying to pull this man toward him. He was constantly trying to humble Saul, and Saul was just refusing left and right. And so Samuel gives Saul the information that Saul is going to die the next day. And not only is he going to die, but also his sons are going to die as well. So Samuel, it seems like, is done with this conversation and is gone. And Saul, hearing the news, falls immediately his full length on the earth in terror because of Samuel's words. There was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day long or all night long. So not only was he terrified, but he also had no strength because he hadn't eaten all day. And hearing this terrible news of his demise the next day is not doing him any favors. And honestly, it would have been better for Saul had he never dabbled in witchcraft. What does it say in Leviticus 20, going back to that? It says, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. And that is exactly what is happening to Saul. He's being cut off from his people. It was the last straw. So a lot of people wonder, was Saul saved? And I think I did briefly touch on this a long time ago, actually, when we first started talking about Saul and some of the you know, things that he did, the sins that he committed. But I'd like to go a little bit more into it today, because Samuel says something interesting here. He says, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. So I want to make it clear, and I won't go into this topic today, but I want to make it clear to everybody that I do not believe you can lose salvation. And when we get into the book of Hebrews, I'll go a lot more in depth with my belief on that. But I do not believe that when we are saved, we can lose salvation, mainly because it says in scripture that people who are saved can never be taken out of God's hand. So that is why I don't think that people can lose salvation, even though that is a typical Armenian viewpoint. I am not an Armenian, but I'm also not a Calvinist. If you want to hear about that, actually, I have a YouTube video where I went into both Calvinism and Armenianism, and I explained both viewpoints pretty in depth, and also explained why I am neither one of those viewpoints. I'll link that YouTube video in the description of this episode. So I don't believe you can lose salvation. So I don't believe that Saul lost his salvation. So that means that Saul was either saved or that he wasn't saved. Now, granted, we've been talking about Romans chapter 1 a lot on the New Testament side of things, where it says that people who commit all these terrible sins are not going to inherit God's kingdom. However, people commit sins all the time. I mean, look at David. He actually committed many of the same sins that Saul committed. For example, David committed murder in his lifetime. Actually, many times. We just talked about the last chapter where David was going around killing people, killing whole tribes. So David committed many sins. He committed the sin of adultery as well. He was a liar. But we know that David was saved because scripture says it. So we can't judge somebody based upon the sins that they are doing, whether or not they are saved, but whether or not they repent and ask for salvation. But we can judge their salvation based upon whether or not they claim Yahweh as their own. Did Saul claim Yahweh as his own? Did he believe in Yahweh? I think there's arguments for both. I think there are times in Saul's life where it looks like, yeah, he is trying to follow Yahweh. And I think that there were other times in his life where it looks like he is, more often than not, actually, looks like he is purposefully trying to go against Yahweh. So honestly, we can't really tell if Saul is saved or not. But I tend to believe that Saul was saved. Because first and foremost, God gave Saul a new heart from the very beginning of Saul's anointing. And typically when God gives us a new heart, that implies salvation. But also, I tend to believe that Saul was saved because of what Samuel says to him right here. Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Some people say, well, that just means Sheol, the place of the dead, the grave. Just means that Saul's going to die. But we know that Jonathan believed in God. We know that he was a relatively righteous man. And of course, Jonathan was Saul's son. So Jonathan, we know, was saved. And if Jonathan was going to be with Samuel the next day, then maybe that implies that Saul also would be with Samuel the next day. Not with Samuel's body. Samuel doesn't say that. He says, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. So that is what I think. I do think that Saul was saved. I do think that people sin. I mean, all of us sin. We know that. So yes, I think Saul, unfortunately, started out pretty good, but just kept rejecting God over and over and over again until his unfortunate demise right here, where Samuel says, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, and Israel will have a defeat against the Philistines." So when Saul hears this, he falls down to the ground in terror, and he refused to eat anything until finally the witch actually is the one who convinces him to eat. And so he does eat. He eats the food that she gives him, and he goes on his way. It's pretty sad that at the end of your life, you have to have a witch comforting you, because it says that God is our comfort. It says that when we trust in God, he will be our source of comfort and our source of rest. In fact, there's a wonderful story in the book, I think, of 2 Kings, where the prophet Elijah, who was so distressed after Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, said that she was going to kill him, that he was unable to get up because he was so depressed about this. And actually, God sent bread to him to comfort him and to cheer him up and to help him regain his strength. God is our source of comfort and rest. And unfortunately, Saul has gone down such a bad path that instead of God providing this bread to him to regain his strength, there is a witch providing this bread for him. So things are about to get interesting with David and with King Saul as well. So make sure to tune in for the last few chapters of 1 Samuel. We'll be starting 1 Samuel 29 on Monday. But until then, I hope you have a fantastic weekend with lots of good weather. I'll see you on Monday. Happy listening, and God bless.